Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now to talk about Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly is Mike and Kathy Aiden. Welcome back to the program, both of you.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, yeah,
Mike, it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk on this show. It's good to see you. How are things going?
Things are going great. Just good.
When you were retired as the executive director of Little Brothers, Kathy, you took over and you've been there for, about 3 years now,
yes,
right?
Yes. Just over 3 years. So it's... amazing, yeah. Actually.
Well, Little Brothers does, amazing work themselves and, touch the lives of so many people in our area. I'm so appreciative to have an organization like Little Brothers. There are a number of services that are out there to try to reach the needs of our elderly population, whether it's housing, food, transportation. Not enough, but there's some things that are going on. And Little Brothers has always been, a special organization that they have ways to help with meeting those needs, but then they also meet the needs of the soul first.
Absolutely.
And that I think that's kind of separates them and makes the organization special.
I agree. I think you worded that very well. That's one thing about Little Brothers. Everything that we do for our elderly friends, we do it from our hearts and from the hearts of our volunteers. And so we try and go the extra mile and help our elderly friends feel comfortable and do whatever they need, whether it's taking them to the doctor and staying with them if that's what they need, or giving them an arm to hold on to when we walk into the grocery store. That's what Little Brothers is all about.
You're best known for your holiday dinners, I think, probably, because it certainly gets enough attention from the media that you have them during Easter, Christmas, and one more.
Thanksgiving.
That's right. And how can I forget Thanksgiving? You even deliver meals to people who can't make the dinners, and what has, again, always struck me about that is it's not just a meal on wheels. It's not, you're delivering a meal, but you're also, the person stays with the individual while they eat and provides company. And so it's, hey, it's great. You get a nice, hot turkey or ham dinner or whatever it might be for the holiday, but then it's the company, and that oftentimes, anybody would attest, it's the loneliness or the lack of company that people, experience on the holiday. That's the worst. It's not necessarily not having turkey. It's not having anybody to share the holiday with.
It's being alone with no family support, and Little Brothers recognizes how important that is. So that's an expectation of our volunteers delivering, that they're willing to take some time and visit with the elderly person they deliver the meal to.
And the community sees this, as you say, but they don't always see the everyday work that Little Brothers does and the very important work. And, we always say our signature project, our most important project, is becoming a friend to an elderly person, almost like an adoption or adopt a grandparent, where we match families and individuals, and they build this relationship up that they have for life. So we always stay with a person for life. And among all that, we do many other things, cut wood, and a lot of social events, a lot of events that we get people out, and I think that's all part of it. But I think, just give you a little story, and I always love this story, because I heard it from Tim at the flower shop when we first got here. There was two of us that came here to start in 1982, and so we were here about a year and getting flowers for everything. We use flowers for all of our activities, for the holiday parties. And I went to Tim, and I think the first few times we bought flowers, and I asked Tim, is there a chance we can start a charge account, And Tim went to his wife, Judy, and says, these two guys out here from Little Brothers, they're here to bring love and friendship, and they want to be able to start a charge account. And Judy says, okay, okay, what is this? And then Tim told her all about Little Brothers, and in the long end we got that charge account. But it was hard for sometimes people to believe that that's what this organization's main purpose was,
and that's what we're all about. Yeah. Our elderly friends, they're our friends, they're our family, and we're just here to touch their souls.
Mike, you said 1982 is when you were first doing that, and happens to be so 35 years ago.
Yeah,
Little Brothers moved into this area. Now, of course, it didn't start in this area. It goes back a little further than that. Can you give us a little bit of a background?
Yeah, and it started in France in 1946. Actually, it started by one man, with a group of friends that wanted to address the needs of elderly people that were homeless after the war. And he came from pretty well-to-do family, and so he started bringing them in and had dinners, started having dinners for them. And so they could at least experience some special things in life, even though they were struggling just to live. And so after he did that, he had this vision of starting a program that would work with lonely people that had no family. And that was his whole focus. And it grew. In fact, at that time, after a year or two, he required people to come to work for them, or volunteer for them. They had to take a year of service, valve at the Church of Notre Dame. So that was pretty interesting. And we met a guy in Detroit who won a snowblower from us, like in 1984, that had spent a year there with Ama Marcuse, who was our founder. And anyway, that's a long story. But but then he sent two men to Chicago in 1959, and he started the program in Chicago, and then in Minneapolis in 1979. And both Kathy and I have worked for the organization in Minneapolis, and I volunteered in Chicago. And then Boston Minneapolis 1972, Boston 1979, and then Houghton 1982. And we were their first real expansion site. Now we're in seven sites.
In the U.S. And in nine countries,
And in nine different countries.
Now. And Little Brothers all over the world carries on Armand Marquise's vision of providing love and friendship to the elderly that we serve. So Little Brothers all over the world does friendly visiting and holiday celebrations. And then depending on where they are, they might have other services. So being a rural site here, we definitely have some programs that are unique to our area here, such as our wood cutting program and our medical transportation program as well. They're programs that are not provided by other Little Brothers chapters.
Yeah, it was something that struck me, Mike, as you were talking about the different places that you had volunteered, and you as well, Kathy, was, Minneapolis, Chicago, Boston, Houghton.
Yeah,
We don't have a whole lot in common with those different places, but I guess one is that there's a need.
In 1981, the organization was looking at expanding, and my heart's always been in rural America, and it just opened the door to write the proposal. And so we did a proposal. I had help from volunteers. And but we looked at Appalachia, Mississippi Delta, and came up with similar demographics as Houghton, because I loved Houghton. So Houghton was part of this proposal. And but in the end, it all went back to Houghton. It's even though parts of Appalachia had really severe poverty, but there was more federal programs in those areas providing help for families living together. And they had more, there was more family kinship where families didn't leave the area as much as what they left here, and the elderly people were living with them. And anyway, long story there too, but in the end, we recommended the Houghton site, and a national director came up here and was here 2 weeks and did surveying and met everybody that we had met with. And then about 6 months later, long story, they approved the site in May of 1982, and we started.
And I think some reasons why Houghton was chosen is because of severe winters. That was actually...
Loneliness and isolation.
Creates more loneliness and more isolation. And being in a rural area, there are always fewer services mm-hmm. available than there would be in a metropolitan area. And the whole history of the mines closing and families leaving the areas to find jobs, there's the high percentage of elderly people in Houghton County. Those were big factors being chosen for Little Brothers' first rural expansion.
Yeah, we often hear about that, one of our biggest exports are our young people that, a lot of people leave, and that's been going on. It's not a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
So when the young people leave and the older population is left behind who don't want to move or maybe can't at this point, Yeah, then everybody's now far away, you know, just right. moving, you know, my family, the rest of my family lives down in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
It's a 10-hour drive. You know, there's, even if you want to say, oh, I'll see them on holidays, well, what are you going to do? Leave Wednesday night for Thanksgiving,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. maybe get there by Thanksgiving morning, and then, you know, it's not very practical, you know.
So right. Yeah, and you can see why the people that we serve are alone on the holidays. I mean, sure, some families come up when mm-hmm. they can make it, but and we've always saw that was the issue. Families kept in touch. Some families kept in touch with their parents, but it was hard for them to come up. Everybody gets busy in their lives, and so we tried just to be that extended family for people that had nobody here.
And I think our holiday programs have been such a huge success because mm-hmm. it, in addition to serving our elderly friends, we have created wonderful opportunities and relationships with our volunteers. So our volunteers love making this a tradition for them and their families to spend the day or part of their day with our elderly friends at a dinner or bringing a mm-hmm. hot meal and visiting with them. And I think that's the secret it's one of the secrets to Little Brother's success is we are a whole family, and what we do meets the needs of many different groups of people.
Besides the dinners, which are of course very popular and a lot of people know about those, if it's not a dinner, what else does Little Brothers do to be able to provide this service to the elderly public?
We have many services, so of course our visiting program is really the heart and soul of Little Brothers, and that's where we match volunteers up to visit an elderly person on a regular basis, so they're doing things together that they enjoy doing, and they truly become friends or family. And then we have small activities all year round. We do almost one activity every week. I mean, we have so many small activities going on that we're bringing our elderly friends out to. And that's really important because without Little Brothers, they wouldn't have opportunities to get out and do things in the community or go to community events or do things even with their peers. So we have small activities all year round. Then we have our medical transportation program. So we take people to doctor appointments. That includes now regional trips to Marquette as well. And with our medical transportation program, most of that is done by volunteers who use their own vehicles. Little Brothers has several wheelchair vans and cars that are available if volunteers cannot use their own cars. But this is really a full-time program that we do every day. And it's so important in our community because, again, we're able to reach people out in the rural areas that don't have access to the local buses, who couldn't afford a cab, and our volunteers go the extra mile and will walk to the door and get them and help them to the car if needed and stay with them while they wait for the doctor if needed. So it's a huge program. And then we have our woodcutting program, which is just amazing, and I can't say enough about the wood program.
And we started cutting wood in 1982. And just because when you visit people, and we were visiting rural elderly, they needed wood. And some people were out there on their knees trying to cut their wood, you know, so we helped a little bit with that. And then even that year, I got fraternity kids to come out and give us a hand. And that whole program's turned around. It has moved forward
grown so much.
And I think this also, when I'm out there, talked about services that we provide, I think another key service is volunteer opportunities, because we provide opportunities for many things for volunteers. And it's pretty interesting with the woodcutting program, we have, now we have a lot of baby boomers coming back, and they do a lot of sawing. And then and we're actually doing about 100 cords now, and it's dry. We have a new site. If you go by, you might see it on the Paradise Road. But but then we have groups, other groups, and it's been kind of the fingers have gone out for many years. We have a group from Kansas City, Missouri, comes now every year, because our counselor was from Michigan Tech, was from this area, went to Michigan Tech at St. Anne's. He helped organize woodcutting for Little Brothers, and when we went back, when he started this job as a counselor at Rockhurst University, he started bringing people here
for their mission trips,
and we have people in that move to Wisconsin and Minnesota that bring their church groups here to cut. So it's And it's all about giving people opportunities to provide service.
Absolutely. And then in addition to that, we have a food pantry. We give food out every month to between 85 and 100 elderly people. And it's a those bags are personalized, so people are getting the food that they like to eat and are able to eat. And then we also have a loan closet where we give out wheelchairs, mm-hmm. commodes, shower chairs. That's a revolving program. Yes, yes. Items are coming in every day and going out every day, and there's no charge. If people need a walker or something, just they can call us or come in, and we have a storage area where we have a variety of those kinds of items. And that's been a huge, really all of our programs have come about because of the needs that we see our elderly friends have. And that's another great thing about Little Brothers, that we can see what the needs are and do what we can to meet those needs.
Is there a charge for any of the services that you've been mentioning?
There's no charge. And that's really part of Little Brothers' philosophy, that our elderly friends are our family, and we would never charge our family. So everything that we do is free to our elderly friends.
Does somebody have to qualify? Do you have to apply for any of this help like you would? Or?
There is a process we go through if somebody is looking for help from Little Brothers, where we do an inquiry with them and find out what their needs are and then match them up appropriately. So there is a process, and depending on what kind of help they're looking for, that process, you know, might vary depending on what their needs are. But basically, all they have to do is call, or anybody could call Little Brothers and refer somebody that they're concerned about.
If they have a legitimate need, you're not turning them away.
Absolutely not.
And we definitely refer people, too. If it maybe not met our criteria, they have family in the area, so we have a number of people that we refer them.
Yes.
And we work hard at that, too. We try to cover it.
We try not to leave anybody hanging.
It's really interesting, Rick, and this tells a little bit of the story, too, is that for years, the people that we see on a regular basis, those are people we concentrate a lot on. I think we have about close to 200 of those people now. And then we have people we do wood for and transport. Those are different people. You know, we offer transportation to anybody in the community that can't get to the doctors by themselves or by family members. But so these people that we served on a regular basis, we called Forever Friends. And elderly friends. And so when I retired, it was a few months after I retired, I come back in the office, and everybody's calling their elderly friends Forever Friends. It made so much sense. And for years, we tried to figure a way to name this group of people mm-hmm. that we worked with. And it came from, I think it was Carol, who got a card from an elderly friend that just loved what she did, whatever it happened. And then she signed it, "Your Forever Friend."
And that's really special to us, yeah. Because when we meet an elderly person and start visiting them, we commit to being with them for the rest of their life.
Yes.
And so that's where Forever Friend comes in.
Yeah.
Well, how is all this paid for?
we started when the first 12 years, we got support from the National Office of Little Brothers. And it was a decreasing amount of support. And we knew that we would have to be self-sufficient someday. So we just started fundraising right from the get-go and got help from National. We have a great direct mail program, and now we've expanded. We got a grant program, a direct mail program, in-kind donation program.
Special events.
Special event program.
Car donation program.
Yep. Yeah, and now we have a foundation, which I can talk about
sure.
a little bit. But through the years, we were worried about being secure because we live in a rural area, and you know how tough it is to raise dollars. And also through the years, we were fortunate to build donor base, and with we had about 40% of our dollars, and we still have close to that coming from downstate or out of the area. And these are people that had followed us, that we'd served their parents, or that
or maybe they lived here for a while, or went to Michigan Tech or Finlandia and knew about us then.
And some of those people think of us as a mission. Some people do, you know. So we had a lot of support there, which was great. But we also wanted to build some long-lasting stuff in support. And so in 1991, we started the fund. We called it the Foundation Fund. It was small. Some people put dollars in it. We said if we ever get a will that came in, it would go in there, and we finally did in about 1994, I think it was. In 1995, we started paying out. We made policy, probably policy similar to the Community Foundation at that time. But so we gave out quarterly payments, and they were little, but they were kind of a source of income, and that built through the years. And so then when I retired, the organization officially started a separate nonprofit called Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly Upper Michigan Foundation, with our sole purpose to support the local chapter of Little Brothers forever. And so that has grown, and we've identified a number of people have left us in a will or a planned gifts, and our type of gifts have grown. It kind of opened a lot of doors. We're getting retirement gifts, people that say hit 70 and a half and they're required to take a payout from their 401, but they don't want to increase their income, so some of those people are giving it to charity, and fortunately we're recipients of some of those. We have life insurance gifts that have come in to us, and we also have a gift annuity program, so we sell gift annuities, and these are people that want to make, with the intention of making a charitable gift, and they may give a certain amount of dollars, and we guarantee them a certain amount of payout every year till they die. Then we also have endowed fund that started about 3 years ago, made by a longtime volunteer and board member, him and his wife. And they wanted to do. They have a couple scholarship funds at Michigan Tech, but they wanted to do something for the poor, and so they started a fund in our foundation. It's called the John and Cookie Johnson Needs Fund, and it's addressing needs that the organization chapter can't normally deal with, or don't have the money to provide. And so this needs fund is there to tap into when we need it. And we've built a couple wheelchair ramps. We've renovated the laundry room. We actually got a couple people we're working with now. And it's up to the chapter to decide. We have this fund in the foundation, but there's a cash fund that's created and gets funded by the foundation, and goes into this cash fund that's available to the chapter. Long story. But the foundation also has been created a goal to build a reserve for the organization, and I hope that we can build at least a year operating, which would give a little less pressure to Kathy.
And I think the foundation is a beautiful thing, because we want Little Brothers to be here and be successful
forever.
Yeah. And the foundation is giving us resources to have some resources every year that we know we can count on. And I think it's interesting to me, because there are people out there who really, that is attractive to them, mm-hmm. also as an individual, to know that they can do something that's going to last long after they're gone as well. So the foundation really has opened doors for us. But in terms of our fundraising, it's a very varied way that we go after money, trying to get grants, individual donations, special events, our Mustang sweepstakes, which is going on now. We do whatever we can.
And you have a special event coming up to celebrate the fact that you've been here for 35 years, and you have your 35th anniversary gala coming up.
We do, and that's going to be Saturday evening, September 9th. It will be held at the Bonfire Grill here in Houghton. We're really excited about that, and this is an event that we will bring our elderly, our forever friends to as well, because we're celebrating with them the successes we've had through the past 35 years, and it'll be a very special event with some speakers and presentations. We're going to recognize our 35-year volunteers, which is amazing. We have 7 volunteers who have been with us from the very beginning, and I'm really, really proud of that. And Scott Dianda will be with us as well, so I think that'll be a very special evening. This is a wonderful opportunity again for us to bring our elderly friends together, really have a nice, elegant meal that many of them don't have the opportunity to have, and so we're really looking forward to that.
And I think it's really nice, too, our elderly friends get to meet some of our donors, people that maybe have seen for 5 years. among all of our other volunteers too.
So is this something that people of the public can get a ticket to and come?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If anybody is interested in attending our event or helping to support the event, they can call our office at 482-6944 and we can set them up. They could check out our website as well.
And we are looking for sponsorships. We're looking for people that might think of donating some dollars, and in the celebration of 35 years, we're hoping some people would be able to donate $3,500
$350.
Yeah, or $35.
And they could designate, if they wanted to do $350, for example, they could designate that money to go towards one of our programs if they wanted to do that. So we have a lot of opportunities, but we're just so grateful, Rick, to the community. The community has really embraced Little Brothers. We could not be here without the support of the community here. It's really amazing and so heartwarming.
And we have expanded in Ottonagon and Baraga and Keweenaw. We have visiting programs there, and now we're in the process of Marquette County.
Yes.
You're opening the door up in Marquette.
We're going to be confirming our office space. We've hired a staff member in Marquette, so we're reaching out into our fifth county now. So,
well, congratulations on the 35 years.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate all that you do, and looking for 35 more and 35 after that.
Thank you. Us too. Long after we're gone.
Yeah, maybe we'll be a forever friend.
Thank you, Rick.
You're welcome. Copper Country Today. We'll be right back.